Anyway, Dighton, thank you for praying for me. I'm RD. Some of you know me, some of you don't. But you pray for me, and I see you on Monday morning, every Monday morning. And I'm so thankful to see Dighton. What's going on here? You're working in the Philippines. Your love is felt in the Philippines. And I want to tell you, for Taylor and Claire, I went to the Philippines in 2014. Only because a pastor challenged me by reading a book called Are You a Fan or a Follower of Christ? And God said, RD, you've been a fan long enough. Doesn't mean you're not a Christian. He said, will you follow me? And I did. And it was the best thing I ever did. It wasn't easy. But I asked God, did I really hear you tell me to follow me to the Philippines? Then I said, show me that I'm really supposed to go. Because when I go on mission trips, and I've been on a few of them, usually I go with people that I know. And I went to the Philippines, and I knew nobody. I just said God wanted me to go. And I asked him, do you really want me to go? So he showed me. I said, show me. I'm having my devotions. I'm a UPS driver. And I said, Lord, I know you could show me in a way that only I would know from you that I'm supposed to go. That week, it's a blizzard. I'm driving my truck. I'm at the TV tower up there, and there's snow drifts this deep, and I stop, and I'm going, I can't get to this person's house. I call him up. I said, ma'am, this is RD Holmes. I got a package for you, but I can't get to your house. Maybe I can get to it later if they plow the roads. Dave, thanks for Osceola County. Snowplow went around my truck. I said, man, God's good. I'm going to follow that truck. I followed it. Three roads. It took me right to this woman's house. And she was ornery. She says, I don't even like UPS. Don't even come to my house. I says, well, you know what? I think God wants me here. That's what I told her. She says, God wants you here? I says, yeah. She says, you know, the only thing I like about UPS is their prayer, their call center. They use the Philippines. I go, aha, I just talked to somebody today. So it was my opportunity to say to her, I said, you know what? I talked to a missionary in the Philippines this morning. She said, really? I said, yeah, really. And then she shocked me. This is how God works, Taylor, when we don't know anybody. She said, if I gave you $1,000, would you take it to the Philippines and use it for God's glory? I just started weeping. I started crying. I said, Lord, I know you want me to go. He opened the doors. And I thought, I'll leave her my number. Maybe she's not real. Is this real? I got into UPS. My phone's dead. She left me two or three messages. She says, would you come to my house? I have a check for you. I got the check. Next day, she calls me again. She says, I have a suitcase for you. And I have $100 bills for you. And I want you to hand them out to every missionary, pastor that needs them. And she says this, I'm rich and nobody knows it. I go, you're my kind of woman. So I took her stuff and I made a tape and I shared with her and I shared the gospel when I got back. Now listen, God's a big God and we pray big prayers. That was the start of a miracle. Then at the time, Pastor Derek was here. He scheduled my flight from Indianapolis. I'm down staying with my sister Dawn and Mark to go to Detroit. He gives me an hour and a half window. I find out fine from flying. That's not enough time. I left Indianapolis an hour and 20 minutes late. I get to Detroit. I have 10 minutes. 10 minutes. Catch my flight. I said, Lord, I get out of the gate. I talk to the girl. I says, how far is my flight? She says, it's more than 10 minutes. Can you run fast? I said, I can run like Forrest Gump. I'll run like the wind. And I started running, and I run, and I pray, and I run. And I hear R.D. Holmes, first call, second call. I'm not even to the Detroit tunnel. I said, Lord, I need you again. I need a miracle. You got to hold that plane. I get to the tunnel. I hear final call for R.D. Holmes. I said, Lord, I'm believing I'm supposed to get on that flight. I get to the flight center, and guess what happens? The door is closed. I go to the girl. She says, are you Mr. Holmes? I said, I am. She said, sorry. The flight, you can't get on the flight. You know what? I just sat down, and I said, well, you know what? I think I'm going to get on that flight. I really believe it. And I sat down, and I prayed. It wasn't 30 seconds. Her phone rings. I'm not making this up. This is God. She comes to me, and she says, you're not going to believe this. I said, you know, I will. I will believe it. She says, you must really have a big God. I said, why is that? She says, they put too much fuel in the plane. It can't take off. They got to empty the plane, the wings. And we're going to get you on that flight. I go, I know what's going on. God wants me in the Philippines. Then I met another rich man. I'm witnessing. And then I'll end. Okay? Sorry, Pastor. You didn't expect this? Okay. I'm on a plane, and this guy I'm witnessing to be beside me, because I never pick my seat. I just say, Lord, put me by somebody that needs Jesus. Put me. I'm sharing the Christ with this guy. And a guy behind me, he's a fisherman from Canada. Doesn't even have a high school diploma. He says, sir, could I come up and sit by you? He says, I've been listening to you talk to this guy. He says, I want to share with you who I am. And he says, I'm a fisherman from Canada. But I'm a wealthy fisherman. I go, God puts me around some wealthy people. I go, thank you, Lord. He says, you know what? Can I help you in any way? And I said, well, you know, I'm going to the Philippines. And I don't know anybody. He says, guess what? My wife's Filipino. We'll help you. I get there. I can't find my contact. Taylor, I couldn't find nothing. That's why we got God, see? She says, but I'll help you. And you know what? They were so good. She started going around talking Bessiah. You know, where's RD's contact? I don't even know what they look like. Her husband goes to buy me a ticket to stay with them. He says, I don't want you staying here alone. You need to, you know, you need to have somebody around you. Long story short, they found her. And then I got to do mission work in Dighton Church. I don't know how many of you people sent me money and sent money to the Philippines, but I don't know how many lives you touched. But it's been now hundreds of people have come to know Jesus because pray, Taylor, and obey. Just trust God. He's going to do some amazing things in your life, I'm telling you. And I just want to thank Dighton Church. I know I wasn't supposed to be up here, and I didn't even ask Pastor. But I just want you to know, we have a big God. And as older I get, I wonder how long I got. I want to go down saying, you know what, Jesus, I want to do my best. Come in here. Last story. Come in here. I got to share Christ with a girl from China, knows nothing about Jesus. I just said, hey, do you know Jesus? He's my best friend. I met another guy. His name was Newton. I said, you know Jesus? I didn't know who he was. It's just amazing how God works. And the trip before that, when I come back, I shared Jesus and a guy accepted the Lord. You never know what God's going to do. Always be open to God's leading. And anyway, I love Dighton Church. Thanks for sharing. Who I don't even know the girl that shared her testimony about the kid that got run over, but thank you. It blessed my heart. Sorry, Pastor. I But thanks.
Well, we're going to invite the worship team to come forward now as we dismiss. I got nothing. I mean, no, the funny thing is some pastors would be like upset, like, oh man, I've had a sermon prepared and stuff like that. But Holy Spirit told me and Nolan, Pastor Nolan, this morning, he said, you know what, maybe we should give RD some time to share. And I said, oh, yeah. Next week's cool. That's good. Darren, you were there. I think you're in the room. We're like, let's set it up next week, and we'll talk to RD. But Holy Spirit has his way, doesn't he? Oh, he's such a gentleman. I thank you for sharing. Thanks for obeying the Holy Spirit, because he told me, but I just said, no, Holy Spirit, you can wait. What I have to say is better. No, I'm kidding. So I appreciate that. And boy, the Lord is, God is so good, isn't he? He is the one that is influencing our lives each and every day. And so if you don't know Jesus, I'm going to skip to the bottom. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior today, you're missing out. He guides us. He directs us. He gives us hope. He gives us joy in the times that are without. And so today, as I prepared this sermon, God has given us as a church, I want to just jump to the chase. I really do. I want to jump to the chase. We're finding ourselves in the book of Jude. And so as we think about this warning, this letter for end times, we as the church, we're going through times that are nearing the end. And so I want to just pick up quickly this morning. I want to pick up quickly as we go through these other portions of the book of Jude. If you were here last week, you are on board with what we're talking about. If you weren't here, we're just going to jump ahead, and you'll have to catch up just a little bit. But I'm going through this book of Jude, and I want us to take a look at verses 5 through 16 today. And as we quickly move through verses 5 through 16, Jude is just simply describing the apostate, those people who are against God, infiltrating, worming their way in the church with their teachings and with their discouragements. And so I want to just pick up verse 5. So I want to remind you, Jude says, though you already know these things, that Jesus first rescued the nation of Israel from Egypt, but later he destroyed those who did not remain faithful. And I remind you of the angels who did not stay within the limits of authority of God that God gave them, but left the place where they belonged. God has kept them securely chained in prisons for darkness, waiting for the day of judgment. Verse 7. And so don't forget Sodom and Gomorrah and their neighboring towns, which were filled with immorality and every kind of sexual perversion. Those cities were destroyed by fire and serve as a warning of the eternal fire of God's judgment. Verse 8. In the same way, these people who claim authority from their dreams, live immoral lives, defy authority, and scoff at supernatural beings. But even Michael, one of the mightiest of angels, did not dare accuse the devil of blasphemy, but he simply said, "The Lord rebuke you." This took place when Michael was arguing with the devil about Moses' body. Verse 10, But these people who scoff at things, they don't understand. They, like unthinking animals, they do whatever their instincts tell them. And so they bring about their own destruction, what sorrow awaits for them. For they follow in the footsteps of Cain, who killed his brother. Like Balaam, they deceive people for money. And like Korah, they perish in their rebellion. When these people eat with you in your fellowship meals, commemorating the Lord's love, they're like dangerous reefs that can shipwreck you. They're like shameless shepherds who only care for themselves. They're like clouds blowing over the land without giving any rain. They're like trees in autumn that are doubly dead, for they bear no fruit and have been pulled up by the roots. They're like the wild waves of the sea, churning up foam from their shameful deeds, and they're like wandering stars doomed forever into blackest darkness. Verse 14, Enoch, who lived in the seventh generation after Adam, prophesied about these people. He said, listen, the Lord is coming with countless thousands of his holy ones to execute judgment on the people of the world. He will convict every person of all of the ungodly things they have done, and for all the insults that the ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These people are grumblers and complainers, living only to satisfy their desires. They brag loudly about themselves, and they flatter others to get what they want. You see, much of Jude's letter, I want to end there in a minute, and so much of Jude's letter is given to us as a warning to uphold the faith, as a warning to be careful of people infiltrating, those people who are, as he gave us this fantastic list, he compared them to the children of Israel, to fallen angels, which are demons. He compared them to like the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. You see, as we see what Jude is talking about, he's called on the Christian to earnestly contend for the faith. We talked about that last week, and I told you that this week we're going to talk about how do we know? How do we know if these people have infiltrated us? How do we know if there's people here or within our ranks or within our denomination or within our country or the church globally? And so I wanted to talk about that as we read through and as we think about, as Jude describes these certain people, how they are, how they act, what they do. He's describing people. In verse 8, he talks about how their immorality is so evident. They're immoral people. Verse 8 says, likewise, these filthy dreamers defile the flesh. Defile the flesh. The filthy dreamers, these people who are, another translation writes how their dreams influence their decisions. And so their immorality is so evident. And so these people, they engage all of their decisions based on immorality. Jude goes on to say how they're insubordinate. They defy authority. And so they defy authority. An apostate, this is that word that I'm using today that rejects God and that has infiltrated the church. The apostate rejects any kind of authority, that anything goes mindset. They rebel against government. They rebel against those in authority within the church. They rebel against ultimate authority of Jesus Christ. They reject the word of God. They reject any kind of moral compass. Know anybody like that? Yeah. Does that sound familiar in today's society? That they just reject authority. They said, whatever I believe is truth. I mean, there's people that, as you watch the news, and I don't want to, we don't have time, but if you think about this, it's unbelievable. As you watch the news in our society today, there was a meme out there, I think my wife showed it to me, or that basically said that, you know, there's a meme, you know what that is, old people, like a cartoon. I don't know what a meme is, whatever. It's a cartoon that basically shows a newborn baby, right? A newborn baby and the doctor holding it up, and the mother says, well, what is it, a boy or a girl? And the doctor says, well, let's let their kindergarten teacher tell them and make that decision. You know, that's the society we live in. It's so true. And so as we think about this, this is unbelievable how we see that people are just, they defy authority. They do whatever they want to do. And then Jude goes on in verse 8. He says, they speak evil of celestial beings. You know, why he put that in there, I think there's something in there. You know, these dreamers, they speak evil of angelic beings and God's angels. And that they slander those in authority. And they slander God. And so as we think and as we go on, Jude covers the idea of what's going to happen to these people, right? We already read that in verses 10 through 13. But I want to recap just really quick. So these people, these apostates, these ungodly people who have wormed their way into the church, by the way, I'm not just talking about, you know, non-Christians here. Because as the church, I want you to be aware, as the church, as the body of Christ, we are not to look at non-Christians, those people who are doing bad things, and say, oh, look at those people, we shun them, they're horrible people, they need to go to hell. That's not our role as Christians. What Jude is warning us about, and I want to remind you again and again, Jude is warning about this mentality, these people worming their way into the church. Now, let's be clear. These are people who have, with their thoughts, their ideas, have snuck their way into church doctrine. And that church doctrine is now being formed and changed and in the likeness of these apostates, in the likeness of more worldliness or wokeism or whatever the word you want to use. These are people within the Christian church who are trying to change things contrary to the word of God. And so I want to make sure you are differentiating what I'm speaking about this morning. What Jude is preaching here is not we need to hate the world, hate the sinner, hate those who are transgender, hate those homosexuals. No, 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 Christian, you're missing it. We love people with the love of Jesus. We are saved to serve. We are called to love people. We are called to welcome the sinner and teach them the holy word of God through the power of the Holy Spirit. Jude is saying, listen, these people have wormed their way into your Christian circle, and therefore we've got to be careful. Let me recap. They've crept into our church, verse 4, unnoticed. They're ungodly people. They turn the grace of God into living immoral lives. Verse 4 continues, they deny the only Lord God and the Lord Jesus Christ. These people are filthy. They defile the flesh. They despise authority. They speak evil of angels. And their actions has been compared to the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. Unbelieving Israelites and demons themselves as the rebellious angelic beings. And so, of course, there's another handful that Jude talks about. There's three more people in the Old Testament that Jude gives a this is the reason why he's doing this. Cain, Balaam, and Korah. I don't want to take the time this morning to go through those, but I want you to understand that Jude he's sending a warning to the church that there's people who are like these Old Testament people, and they're wrecking the lives of churches and denominations. But I want us to point to verse 12. Let's just put that up there if we could, please. Verse 12 says this, and while we're looking at it, there you go. So verse 12 says, when these people eat with you in fellowship meals, they commemorating the Lord's love. They're like dangerous reefs that can shipwreck you. They're like shameless shepherds who care only for themselves. They're like clouds blowing over the land without giving any rain. They're like trees in autumn that are doubly dead, for they bear no fruit and have been pulled up by the roots. For they bear no fruit and have been pulled up by the roots. And so last week, as I ended my sermon last week, I said, how do we know who these people are? How will we know what these people look like? How will we know if our denomination is staying true and steadfast to Holy Scriptures? How will we know when Pastor Jim is speaking from the truth of God's word or some other teaching from an apostate? How will we know? And Jude says it right, for they bear no fruit and they've pulled up by the roots. And I simply say, let's look at each other's fruit. Let's look at each other's fruit. How is your fruitfulness? How is our church's fruitfulness? How are you personally bearing fruit? Jesus said it best. Matthew chapter 7, verses 16. I don't have it up front, but if you want to write that down. Matthew chapter 7, verse 16. He says this, you will recognize them by their fruits. Are the grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit. But the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits. Jesus isn't talking about horticulture. Did you realize that? He's not talking about fruit trees. He's talking about people. He's talking about Christians. He's talking about believers in the body of Christ that you will know and you will recognize true Christianity by their fruit. Now that gives us a sense of opening our eyes, doesn't it, church? I mean, we need to open our eyes. Jude says, contend for the faith, fight for it, learn what it's all about. And Jesus said, we can judge by the fruit that is being bore. And so if a tree bears bad fruit, you cut it down. But if a tree is bearing good fruit, you realize, wow, that's a good thing. John chapter 15, Jesus continues, and I'll be done here soon. It says, John chapter 15 in verses 1, it says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, Jesus says. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself. Unless it abides in the vine, neither can you. Unless you abide in me, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he bears much fruit. Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing. And so when I'm talking and teaching in the book of Jude, we take a look at what Jude is saying is that they will bear no fruit, those who are the apostate. And so we're to be warned. We're to look around. And I'm not talking about necessarily our local church here. But Christian, let's be wise in who you listen to. Let's be wise in the preachers and the teachers that you see online or on TV. Make sure you're willing and understanding to say, well, what kind of fruit are they bearing? And is it good, righteous, holy, Christian fruit? That's how we can judge. And so we don't have to worry as Christians. We just have to be wise. We just have to be knowledgeable and say, listen, I am willing to listen, to absorb, and to watch and to hear, but where's the fruit being born? And so if I put it back to our own application this morning, as the band does come forward this time, we are going to land this thing here soon. As I apply it to our church today, as I apply it to us right now, I want us to be aware of myself personally. Be aware of yourself. And I want to ask you the question. If you stood before God the Father right now, right at this moment, and he says, what fruit are you bearing? What would you say? I mean, what would you say if God the Father, and you stood before God, he says, what kind of fruit are you bearing? Well, God, I'm a go to church. I'm a good person. Well, God, of course, I helped the little lady across the street the other day. He says, what kind of fruit are you bearing? And so I ask myself that question constantly. Lord, I want to be a tree that is not going to be cut down and thrown into the fire. But I want to be a tree that's pruned and healthy and bear much fruit for the kingdom of God. And so the warning from Jude is there for us as church people, as Christians, to make sure that the apostate, that the false teaching, the false prophet doesn't infiltrate not only our church, but the church universal. That's our job. But it's also our job to make sure that we remain in the vine, which is Jesus Christ, the true vine, the one who gives life. So maybe you are in here today and you don't know Jesus. Maybe you're watching online this morning and you don't know the vine, the one who is the life giver of all things. I want to give you that opportunity today. Just tap into the vine of Jesus Christ. Accept his forgiveness of your sin. When you realize that you've done nothing, you can't do nothing, the Bible says that our righteousness, our own good deeds is like filthy rags. It means nothing. And so when you understand your need of a Savior, I encourage you today to call out to Jesus Christ as your Savior. It's a simple prayer. The prayer itself doesn't save you. It's just the recognition of, Jesus, I'm done trying on my own. Jesus, I want to accept you into my life to be my Savior. Please forgive me of my sin. It can be a prayer of surrender, a prayer that says, I am tired of trying to do things on my own, and I need you in my life. And so I'd encourage you today to start this journey in Jesus. Start this journey to tap into the vine. And you may be wondering, why am I not bearing fruit? Maybe you've pulled away from the vine today. And maybe you need to say, Lord, I've pulled away from you and I'm sorry. I need to come closer to you and tap into that life-giving sustenance of Jesus Christ. So this morning, I encourage you to just kind of take some time right now. As we think of the fruit as Christians that we need to be bearing. And also as we think of the judgment that takes place when someone comes in and works his way or her way into a church or to a domination or the church universal. And we thank God for the warning of Jude. So this morning, let's just take some time as before we sing this final song as we dismiss together. I want to encourage you. Let's tap into the fruit giver. Let's bear fruit as Christians. Let's be on our toes to contend for the faith, to fight for what we believe in, to understand what we believe in. I want to be recognized by my kingdom fruit, don't you? Lord God, as we have come together today, we're so thankful. We're thankful that you are a God of miracles. We're so thankful that you still exist. We're so thankful that you're not dead. We're so thankful that you are just awesome. I want to thank you for Ryan today and how you have just done an amazing miracle in his life. God, I thank you for protecting him. Lord, you know that he's a provider for his family. And he God, I just thank you for protecting him and allowing him to still be with us today. Lord, I pray for the continued situation with the doctors and all of that, all the stuff that has to go on right now. Lord, I want to pray for little Hudson right now. I pray for Sherry and Eric sitting up here in the front row. God, you are a God of all comfort. You are a God of miracles. You are a God of peace. Lord, I pray for little Hudson right now, this little five-year-old. God, I ask for your hand of mercy to be upon that little one. God, we thank you so much for your love and your faithfulness to us. God, I pray, Lord, that you would help us to be people that produce much fruit for you, for the kingdom. Help us to be on our toes. Help us to be warned. Help us to be ready to make sure that we're doing the right thing for the kingdom of God. And God, we just give you praise. We give you glory. We want to worship you right now, God, for you are good. You are a good God. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.